This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hi, this is Jane Garvey, and this is the Woman's Hour podcast from Tuesday, the 16th of July, 2019. And this morning's show, a bit different. We were live at the Netball World Cup at the M&S Bank Arena in Liverpool. It's day five of the tournament, and in fact, the final is on Sunday. And just to make it absolutely clear, there is coverage across the BBC, including on BBC Two at most days. In fact, every day of the tournament, there is coverage of the games on BBC Two with one of our guests this morning, Hazel Irvin. And that's where we started the conversation this morning, in the company of Hazel Irvin and Sarah Bayman, a former England player. She played for England at the 2010 and 2014 Commonwealth Games. And she is now the Super League Netball Coach of the Year and Director of Netball at the team Loughborough Lightning. First up, here's Hazel talking about the tournament.
It's been hell for leather, Jane, since Friday, since we began. We've had the preliminaries. We're in stage two of the preliminaries. But fundamentally, we're now getting towards the knowledge of who's going to be in the semi-finals on Saturday. And at the moment, it looks like the Southern Hemisphere teams of South Africa, Australia, New Zealand are heading towards those semi-finals.
Right.
You know, barring the odd slip. Potentially, and of course England too, because they had a massive game against Jamaica yesterday, at which they won by 8 goals, and it was thrilling indeed. Sarah was with us.
What was the atmosphere like?
Too.
It was incredible. I think the atmosphere generally for every single game has been fantastic, but every time England walk onto that court, the noise is just deafening in this arena. So
we should say Scotland are taking part as well.
Scotland and Northern Ireland. But every team, I think the Zimbabwe support has been phenomenal as well. So I think the players have been taken aback by just how captured the public have been with this tournament so far.
Yeah, and of course you've got the players walking around this area of Liverpool and in the city centre as well, and it gets people talking.
Yeah, all the teams are staying in the hotels nearby. They're all wandering around Liverpool in their spare time, and it's nice that the fans are able to interact and see them, and like you say, it gets people talking about the competition.
And the structure of this competition means that you don't get knocked out early on. There's something to play for.
Yeah, there's playoffs for every place down to 16th, so everyone has a full week's worth of competition, and then the top four teams will go into the weekend as well.
Now, for anyone who played netball at school and thinks they know about netball, or perhaps for some of our male listeners who know nothing about the game, sell it to me. And also, can we just make clear right from the start, this is a standard way, way above anything any of us who played it at school know about.
Well, I think netball's one of those sports that it's a completely different game at the elite level to grassroots. And so if you've seen school netball and then you see the international level here, it's almost unrecognisable.
Yeah.
It's so fast and so physical. So many goals are scored, and I think that's the joy of it as a spectator, that there's always something happening. There's usually up to 120 goals scored per game, so there's never a dull moment. And just some of the collisions yesterday in the England-Jamaica game kind of really dispel that myth of it being completely non-contact.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, Hazel, because I guess some cynics might say this is a game invented for women and girls that's basically non-contact basketball.
Well, it may have been that initially, but it's very much not the case now. I think we have to at the very least regard it as semi-contact.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot goes on, there's a lot you don't see. I have to say the umpires are very, very sharp and do.
Yeah.
See a lot of it, but such is their stewardship of the game that there's a lot going on, but they do keep the flow of the game, so there is contact. contact happening all the time, but they're playing advantage a lot of the time. So you're not getting that, many of us will remember from school, stop, OK, take the penalty, stand beside her, off we go again. Yeah. It moves constantly. And it's very
been,
fast.
There's been a lot of rule changes probably in the last 10 years as well to help that flow of the game. You know, there's people recognise that it needs to be spectator-friendly, that people don't want a stop-start game. And so the umpires have developed as well in terms of allowing it to flow and playing advantage and making it a more watchable game.
Actually, the physicality thing, generally speaking, is going to have to be addressed, I think, Sarah, because we've had injuries already to Leila Guscoff of England, and even yesterday Lisa Alexander of Australia, the Australian coach, was talking about the fact that potentially the physicality of this game is not properly understood, and maybe we're going to have to try and relax the rules a little bit to allow substitutions to come in these squads, because it's terribly demanding on the knees, the hips. You're stopping and starting
the swivelling
again.
Too.
Exactly. Huge, huge impact on the body. Yeah,
because you were allowed to, what is this, pivot?
Pivoting, that's it.
Yeah, you were allowed to pivot. Just explain that pivoting rule, perhaps, Sarah.
Pivoting's a funny one because it's kind of gone out of the game, but basically, with the footwork rule, you're allowed to take one step, and whatever foot you land on, you can lift that foot up off the ground, but you can't re-ground it. So players can look like they're running with the ball if they take a step and then release the ball before they re-ground their first foot. And then pivoting is sort of an... I don't want to say old school.
It's,
I don't want to offend you.
It's what we remember from school.
The sort of
you
basic...
You just said it, old school. Like a knife through the heart.
Old school. And sort of what you learn when you're a child and the basic level of how you turn without moving your feet.
Can I just open the door here and just get people at home can just get a measure of just how noisy it is here. So I'm just going to open the door. Live radio this. You can hear the sound. There's a sort of... There are a lot of young girls here, I should say.
It is quite high-pitched.
Yeah, there's a... sort of how can I an estrogen based squeal of excitement. There we go. Just a goal there scored for Fiji, I think that was, and they're still beating Singapore by 53 goals to 40. It is heading towards the end of the summer term, so there are loads of school trips here today, and I think there'll be many more later on. Just very briefly, it's seven aside, games go on for an hour with breaks, and only two positions are able to score, which is goal
shooter and goal attack.
Who is your better scorer, the attack or the shooter?
Generally the goal shooter will score more of the goals, but the best shooting partnerships in the world tend to have a more even split than the lesser partnerships.
And actually we saw that at the Commonwealth Games last year, Jane, because we had Joe Harton and Helen Housby for England, and they basically share the load a bit, although I have to say Joe's done a bit more this time. But it was that sort of, they call it the H2 factor together, and it sort of bamboozled the opposition, and in the end it was probably key to England winning that gold medal last year, which of course was it caused the explosion and excitement about this game right around the world.
Well, we are going to be talking later in the programme to somebody who was the captain of the England team, to Amma, and she is unfortunately injured, not able to take part in this tournament, but that was one of my favourite sporting moments. I mean, absolutely loved the last couple of minutes of that Commonwealth. I mean, you must have watched that, Sarah. Been a bit jealous?
I was commentating.
You commentated even worse.
I was jealous in terms of, you know, them winning the gold, but I was actually just so pleased that the years of work that had gone into that kind of finally came into fruition, because for so long England played off with Jamaica for the third and fourth spot, and to make that gold medal match and then win it on basically your first try was just phenomenal.
Well, let's heap some pressure on Tracy Neville and the England team then, because there are high expectations here. Hazel, what do you think?
I think the way they've been going, the sheer physicality and the guts and the determination shown by the side yesterday, which was an unchanged side throughout the whole match, Tracy kept the same seven on. I thought it was a really composed performance under severe pressure from Jamaica. And I think one of the key points here, Jane, is that so often we've turned up at Netball World Cup saying, which one of them, Australia or New Zealand, is going to win the World Cup? This time we've come here and we said, well, is it one of five this time?
So who else is in the mix?
Well, very much South Africa are the emerging team. And of course, the last time in 1995, South Africa got to that final, very interestingly. It looks like Jamaica are out of it. So it looks like between South Africa, England, New Zealand and Australia. And all of them you can make a case for at this point, I would say.
And is home advantage, is it an advantage, Sarah, or is it just a whole heap of pressure the team don't need?
I think it's definitely an advantage at the minute. As it gets to the pointy end of the tournament, we'll see if we see cracks due to the pressure that it will undoubtedly put on the girls. But I think it's just been so exciting for them, and to receive the amount of support that they have done so far, they look like they've been thriving off it.
Yeah, I hope people got there was another big cheer there. The crowd are absolutely loving it. I think this arena takes about 8,000 people the way it's set up now. Presumably, I mean, it's about a quarter full, believe it or not, judging by the noise, it's only a quarter full. It will get much busier later on.
Yeah, I think every England game from now on is sold out, so it will be very, very busy for those games especially.
Right. And you were at the Netball World Cup, remind me, when was it, Hazel?
95 it was in Birmingham, yeah.
And how was that compared to this?
Well, it was very well attended. I mean, it's going back a bit now, Jane, let's be honest. So I do remember it being very well attended. But I think you're getting slightly skewed perspective here, because these teams playing just now are playing for the lesser places in the group that didn't quite get through to the main groups. But what you'll see is it will build throughout the day. And we've already had huge audiences. And now that we're turning the court round in order to accommodate that 8,000 to 10,000, I think you'll see a huge numbers of people coming here over the next few days.
Netball is having a moment, but women's sport is having a moment. Mm. And actually, do you think netball is in a good position to thrive, bearing in mind that football is a game that is more widely understood, you could argue as well, easier to play, it's just there, right at the forefront of the public consciousness in this country, and always has been.
It is, but I think you've got to remember, netball is the most played game in this country by women and girls.
Still.
Yeah, I mean, it is an extraordinary thing. And it's still the same situation in Australia and New Zealand. So there's huge numbers of women and girls playing it. But I think also, you talk about the consciousness of people towards this game. Netballers, the England netballers won the moment of the year voted for by the public. You just talked about it yourself, Jane. And also the team of the year at Sports Personality of the Year last year. So it did create a huge, huge breakthrough impact from the Commonwealth Games. And I think it's so important now that Tracy Neville and the England team build on that. And I think it was actually, I think one of the England players, I can't remember who said it, said, wouldn't it be just tops if they could take the Netball World Cup to Sports Personality this year. And I have to say, I got a little bit of a tingle when she said that.
I also think that there's a lot of women and girls in the UK, and it's not a conversation we have around male sport, you know, can rugby fit in when football's so popular and when cricket's so popular?
No, you're right, yeah, I shouldn't have.
But it's a conversation we have a lot, and that's, I think it's just a kind of shift in our perspective of, rather than trying to attract people away from football, why don't we just attract more people into sport generally?
Yeah. I suppose I was just thinking, we know that football is now, over the next couple of years, is going to be offered to girls in all schools as an option.
And realistically, it will be something that's probably seen as a risk by netball, that if football does become the most popular team sport for girls, that netball needs to do something to make sure that it continues to be offered in the majority of schools, and that outside of schools, girls continue to go to clubs and develop along the pathway.
Yeah, well put. Thank you very much, Sarah. And just, Hazel, I mean, this is a performance. This is all bells and whistles, this tournament, isn't it? You are not going to be bored in this arena for very long.
No, you're not, because there's half-time entertainment. There's even chat during the quarter-time as well. It's all go. And for the first part of the tournament, we've had actually two courts in operation throughout. So even if you are here to watch England, there's always something happening on the other side. And I think that was something that the players actually had to get used to, because there was quite a lot of distraction from the other court as well. But just to follow up on Sarah's point, I think it'll be lovely. I know that we've grouped together a huge amount of elite women's sport this summer, Change the Game, rightly, which has been making a huge impact. But I would love to get to a point where we talk about sport, not just women's sport, because it is all sport. These are an aggregation of world-class events who just happen to be played by women. And I really think it's important that we try and up the level, and we see it on the same level as the men's sport that we're used to watching all the time.
You can contact us, of course, on social media. It's at BBC Women's Hour. You can email the programme as usual via our website, bbc.co.uk/womenshour. Sarah, this is going to break Hazel's heart. Sarah asks on Twitter, is the netball on the telly?
Oh, yes.
Hazel, when are you on today?
Oh, yeah. Well, you mentioned Northern Ireland. We've got Northern Ireland against the Silver Ferns of New Zealand. It's the first time at the World Cup they've faced one another for, wait for this, 20 years.
And it's this afternoon.
This afternoon at 2:45. We'll be there, Sarah and I, and also Amagwezi as well.
Great. Well, I really hope that's a good game. And thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Really appreciate
Thanks.
You
thank
being you. Here. That's Sarah and Hazel Irvin, of course, and coverage on the telly this afternoon. As Hazel's just pointed out, there's no excuse. You can see the wonderful game of netball on the box over the next week or so with the final on the telly on Sunday. And fingers crossed that maybe England will be in that final. Now, no tournament like this can operate these days without volunteers. And we've got three brilliant volunteers with us this morning. Caswell Palmer, good morning to you, Caswell.
Morning.
And Caswell plays the game as well. And mother and daughter duo, Mandy and Hannah Cripps. Welcome to you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are you spending the whole week with your mum, Hannah?
No, we're not actually. You're a bit more back office. But yeah, so we're in different areas. But we get to spend our evenings together, which is quite nice.
Oh, that sounds very nice. Now, Caswell, I was surprised to learn that you do play the game. How did you get into netball?
Actually, my sisters play netball, so I used to just tag along with them to watch the game.
Yeah.
And it just looks quite interesting, and it kind of reminds me of basketball when I first saw it. And I thought, oh, yeah, it's quite easy because I played basketball. Well, it certainly wasn't.
What were the differences?
I think it was me getting my head around the fact that you can't run with the ball and you can only have the ball for 3 seconds before you have to give it to someone else.
Yeah.
And you can't bounce it continuously. And it was just like a plethora of different rules in comparison to basketball. So it kind of threw me a bit when I tried. And my footwork was quite terrible.
Was it? Okay. Well, as our token male guest, Caswell, you can make the point that, in fact, this is not a soft game.
Absolutely not. Well, I mean, I've been involved in netball for nearly 20 years now. And the way the game has moved on, I mean, 10 years ago, in comparison to the day, I mean, the athletes are just absolutely phenomenal. They're a lot fitter, stronger, a hell of a lot more aggressive. And you would want to think that, oh, it's a female sport, so they're quite soft and nice and stuff. But
not judging by what I've seen out there this morning.
Not at all. And it's a testament to the girls, because, or the ladies rather, they've put in so much effort, and netball is basically becoming a lot more professional. So, I mean, in Australia and New Zealand, you have got a professional league, and in England, you've got the semi-professional, and also in South Africa. So it's actually moving ahead. So there's a lot of additional things. I mean, the nutrition that you have to think about, the intense training, and loads of professionals have been brought in. So it's moved, I mean, 5 stories up, actually.
Just in the time that you've been around.
Yeah.
Just looking at the score, it's Fiji 67 and Singapore 49. I've got to admit, when I first started watching this match, which started just after 9 o'clock this morning, I thought that Fiji would win it easily, but Singapore have really stuck around. And is that something that you've noticed, Hannah, watching the games, that actually the standard is really high?
Oh, incredibly high. I think, like, at this level, it's got to be. And some of the games you've had quite a big difference in the scores, whereas actually, like, a score in netball, if you've got just a few points in it, there's so much effort that goes into those last few moments.
Yeah, I mean, they are gutsy performers, and as Caswell points out, this is not a business they take lightly. Nutrition is obviously everything. Fitness would be everything for them as well. Just from your point of view, Mandy, I apologise. You played at school, did you?
I did, yes, yes.
But like me, girls. I guess you don't recognise this as the game you played at school.
It's somewhat a different game, yes. Yeah. I mean, the speed is just phenomenal, and the girls are such elite athletes. But I do think it can be played at many different levels. I'm slightly inspired to go back. You know, there's even walking netball now.
Yes.
And I think probably it might be something I pick up when I go back home.
Now, you sound slightly hesitant, if I can put it that way, Mandy.
I think I'd want to go along and make sure that I'm not letting myself down at sort of 50.
Take a couple of mates with you.
I think that's probably a good idea. And I'm sure there are people of my age who are getting back into fitness, and I think could be easily tempted to get back into playing something like netball at a different level than we're seeing here.
And as for the volunteering, honestly, what do you get out of it? Because I bet that this is hard work. I mean, your daughter said slightly dismissively you were in a back office role, but what does that mean?
Well, at the moment, I'm looking after the sort of VIP and hospitality suites, which I thought would be very exotic.
Yes.
Actually, it's just sort of pointing many people in different directions, just making sure that people are happy. But it's just about being engaged. You get a lot of feedback from people having a real buzz about being seeing the sorts of sports that they're seeing at the sort of level that they're doing it. And I think you're meeting lots and lots of different people, just in terms of the pivoteers, which is what the volunteers are called here, as well as being out in Liverpool and seeing the buzz that's in the city is just really, really rewarding.
And you're picking up on that energy everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Are people, because do people know your volunteers?
It's pretty obvious.
Is it?
We've
okay.
got a lovely top and trousers, and we've got pivoteer written in big letters.
Yeah, but do people treat you with respect, I suppose, is what I'm asking.
You know, it's a nice audience. It's
quality people, I should say. Yes.
No, you get all sorts, but on the whole, they're here to have a good time, and that sort of that emotion spreads across the whole arena.
I don't know. Were you old enough actually to be inspired by the volunteers at London 2012, Hannah?
Definitely. I think this is part of it where it started. I remember going into the 2012 Olympics, and there were these people on almost the lifeguard chairs telling jokes, and my dad still remembers some of the jokes that they said. And it was just the atmosphere that they created, and that they were really part of it. They were called the Game Makers, and that was almost something that, I mean, it's definitely kept in my mind since the Games.
And do you think the athletes taking part appreciate your presence and the efforts you're making to be here?
Yeah, I think so. One of them got a hug off Tracy Neville yesterday, I've heard.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, Tracy's, I'm sure she's the person to know, certainly
yeah,
in terms
definitely.
Of England netball. Caswell, what do you think about that? Do you feel appreciated?
I do, actually. Well, I work in the training venue, so I basically come in contact with all the teams, and they're really appreciative and stuff, and always saying thank you and stuff. And they're more completely open to taking pictures with us and let us feel like we're actually a part of it rather than just on the side volunteer, and they're very approachable and stuff. So I think they really, really appreciate the work that we have done for them, because we just makes life easier for them, and they can just continue and just get on with their job, which is to play netball.
So you help, I mean, the women are out there training at what time in the morning? Are they training, or is it late at night?
They train as early as 9 in the morning and as late as 6.
Okay, so they keep at it throughout the day.
Yeah, they do.
And in terms of nutrition, what are they taking on board before they play?
Well, they have to have a lot of fluids, and obviously they've had the protein powder afterwards.
Let me just open the door again. That's just yeah. It's the end of the game, and it's Fiji have won 71-56. Oh. Well done, Fiji. Sorry, Caswell.
No, that's fine. I think, the nutritionists ensure that the girls are taking in enough fluid, because obviously they play such a rigorous sport, and even though it's a training session or if it's a match, the intensity is really, really high. So they have to ensure that they put in a lot of fluids, and then after the match, then they have their shakes or which protein to replenish the
Does everybody have an individual protein shake?
I think it's... I'm not sure if they have.
Could you just liquidise a load of chocolate cake and a couple of flat whites and give it to me?
No, I think they're a lot more professional than that, and
they know
exactly what their body needs to ensure that they do an effective job. So, and also they've got the right people around them also to ensure that they're on the right path.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Caswell. Thank you for your patience with my idiotic question as well. And Hannah, has this inspired you?
Oh, definitely. I think just being like you here, the audience out there, just being part of the buzz, like the amount of kids that
what it's like when England or Scotland play, Lord knows.
Yesterday was a nail-biting one, and just seeing the kids come in and just so excited about the game, it's just really lovely to hear. And I mean, I play netball, but I mean, I don't know, I've picked up some pointers now.
You'll be pivoting in a rather more stylish way.
My footwork will be on point, I think. By the time I get back, my coach will be happy to hear.
I'm glad. What position do you play at?
I'm goalkeeper.
Are you? Okay, and happy to stay there?
Oh, yes, definitely. I like everything to happen in a very confined area. I'm not going to run too far.
Right. Good point. Thank you very much. A great place to end, actually. Thank you very much, Mandy and Hannah and Caswell.
Thank you.
And it's
thank
so
you.
Fantastic. Where would we be in this country without people like Caswell and Hannah and Mandy? Amanda, you are willing to do things for nothing, frankly, and keep things going for other people's enjoyment. So thank you all very much for being part of this. It's fantastic. Well, good morning to you. We are live on Women's Hour on Radio 4 this morning at the Netball World Cup in Liverpool. Now, it's already been mentioned, I think Hazel Irwin was the person to remind us, that netball is, in fact, Britain's number one female participation sport. It's thought about 1.5 million women and girls play it at some point in a typical season. So among those trying to get girls playing the game at the earliest opportunity, without relying on school PE lessons, is the organisation Mighty Netball. Now, it provides after-school and weekend classes for girls between the ages of 4 and 11, and boys as well, in Hertfordshire. At which point we were hoping to hear a feature. Here we go.
My name's Kate. I'm here with my daughter Ella, who's 7. Our house is quite football orientated, so we were looking for something kind of that my daughter could enjoy. And I've always loved netball, so it just seemed like the right choice. It gets us out and about really early on a Saturday morning, which is lovely, especially on a day like this. It's giving her a bit more activity than she'd have normally, and a bit of kind of learning a different skill and some teamwork. She's mixing with children that she doesn't go to school with, so that's building a little bit of confidence.
I'm Corinne Askey, and I founded Mighty Netball with Laura 2 years ago because I was inspired by my daughter at the time, who was interested in sport but not so interested in rugby and football, and so I was trying to find something for her to do. I remember her clearly, loudly telling me that she was a girl and so she wasn't going to play football. I love sport and I've played sport my whole life, and I've played rugby and football intramural at university, and so I tried to encourage her to say football is for you, and it's amazing what the Lionesses are doing at the moment. Women's football is amazing and really growing, which is such a positive thing. I tried to tell my four-year-old this and show her videos on YouTube of the Lionesses playing, and she just shook her head and said, I'm a girl. And I wasn't able to communicate that you can do football and be a girl, so she shook her head at football, she shook her head at rugby, and then I just said, well, do you want to play netball? And she nodded and looked very happy, and actually a lot of the content that we have is very similar to the content that you have in early stage fundamental class sports classes, so rugby and football and netball. It's all a lot of hand-eye coordination, gross motor skills. So actually, don't tell anyone, but the only difference is that we're wrapping it up as netball, and they're learning those skills as they get later on at 4. It's just, let's go out and run around and play sports. So by positioning it as something that she wanted to do, we could really encourage her and hundreds of other children, hopefully thousands of other children, to be active in an environment they believe is for them.
Are we ready? Toes behind the lines.
I'm Kasia Fossers, and this is Helena, my daughter. We have tried different sports for Helena, and this is the one which she enjoyed the most.
It's really fun, and we're doing it outside.
Do you have a favourite position?
Centre. Because you can go everywhere except the D.
I'm Susie, and I've brought my daughter Annabelle. She's 7, so she's in year 2. I played it when I was at primary school and at high school, and I loved it, so I thought it was a great sport to be outside and moving around in the winter and the summer.
And what do you think it's given Annabelle?
Apart from exercise and fresh air, it's working as a team, learning how to pass, the concept of having to stand still, not move around, looking around, see where teammates are. It's just loads of things. It's brilliant.
Help her out when the whistle goes, guys. Run into the centre.
I'm Laura, I'm one of the co-founders at Mighty Netball, and I run it alongside Corinne. I think team sport, without even trying, teaches so many skills, and we've looked at what those are, which is more confidence, self-belief, willingness to give things a go. I think have that support around you from teammates, it's not all on you, and so we've highlighted those things and try to emphasise those within our session plans. So, and the way we teach our coaches to speak to the girls is all about reinforcing hard work and effort and the right attitude and kindness and sportsmanship. And, you know, in our matches, we don't really keep score. We don't really care who the winner is within these sessions. It's not what matters at this age. Me and Corinne are both competitive people, but I think under the age of 11, it doesn't matter. We want the girls to just fall in love with sport. So having some sort of mini success every week really consolidates that for them, and they can move on through secondary school, which is where little girls step away from sport because they don't feel like they are sporty girls. If they don't identify in that way from a young age, they stop. So that's what we're trying to change by starting them younger. Boys are absolutely welcome. We have chosen not to be a part of that discrimination where it's just a solo sport. We do have boys that come, I think, across the weekend venues, certainly got more in the younger age groups. We have got a couple in the older age groups, sort of the year 5, 6, so they absolutely love it. We've got quite a few more boys in our after-school clubs, and the children just don't notice. Made me laugh yesterday, actually. I was at a session where there was one boy in the group, and one of the girls was trying to point out to me who it was, and she didn't say him, the boy, she said, oh, the one in the yellow t-shirt. So they really don't notice, you know, it doesn't matter to them, which is lovely.
I'm Holly and I'm 10. I started coming to netball about a year ago. I'd heard loads of people talking about it and I decided to try it out, and it's just amazing. It's very interactive and fun. You get to do a lot of match play and meet new people and make lots of new friends. One of the training bits we do, kind of an obstacle course, and you have to go round and try and get a foot in a box. The people are trying to tag you whilst your foot is in the box, so you've got to be really quick. It helps you quite a lot with your footwork.
I'm Jenny, I live in Berkhamsted, and I'm Emma's mum. Emma used to do swimming in the morning, and that kind of stopped. But what was noticeable to me is Emma needed to build her confidence, playing with different people, getting exercise. But it was really about a confidence-building thing for me as a mum. I played throughout all my secondary education, was vice-captain of my first team in sixth form. Very proud of that. But, yeah, so I'm just kind of a passionate ex-netballer, so I wanted to get Emma involved in that.
And, Emma, what do you think you enjoy about netball?
I like shooting, to play with my friends and score some goals.
We did sit and analyse why we enjoyed netball and what was good about it and who were good, positive role models. And we really saw that netball had this opportunity to inspire a lot of young people, and with such amazing role models. In the Roses team, you've got incredible athletes, but incredible women as well. You've got doctors and physios and people carrying out full-time jobs and full-time athletic careers. So that was a really, really positive kind of environment that was already there, and so we wanted to tap into that and just provide an opportunity for girls to play a sport they really believed was for them. We're open to boys and girls. We want everyone to play netball at grassroots, boys and girls and everyone, but we really want to inspire girls to play a sport that's competitive, where you're practicing being assertive, where you need to be in conflict situations and find a resolution. And those are skills that really resonate well in the rest of your life and in your career, and it's helped me a lot in my career. So there was so much potential to do something with it.
Fantastic. The reporter there was Jane Thurlow. That was Corinne Askey from Mighty Netball in Hertfordshire. That sounds like a really good idea, doesn't it? And so much enthusiasm generated by everybody taking part in that. So welcome back to the arena in Liverpool, where we're just waiting for the next game, which is Sri Lanka against Samoa, which starts at 11 o'clock this morning. With me now, we have got Claire Nelson, who is the CEO of Netball Scotland. Welcome, Claire.
Thank you.
Amma Abueza is here. She captained the England side that won gold at the Commonwealth Games last year and provided us with one of these seminal sporting moments of all our lives. That was when you all just piled on top of each other at the end of that match. What, were you at the bottom or in the middle of the pile or where?
No, smartly at the top.
Clever girl, yes. I think that probably would have been the safest place to be. Were people injured in that pile-on?
I don't think they cared.
No, I suppose by then. I mean, can you begin to sum up what that felt like?
I don't think I've comprehended it myself.
No.
I think I've talked about it for years and years. When I first got my first England cap, England were talking about winning a world tournament, and it was over 20 years ago. And even going into the tournament, we were like, oh, we're going to win. But I think it's one thing saying you're going to win, and then when it actually happens, it's just unbelievable.
Well, also, you nearly didn't win. I know it doesn't matter now. It's like New Zealand nearly won the cricket, the men's cricket World Cup, but Yeah, and that was heart-stopping entertainment.
My husband's from New Zealand, so there's been family wars over cricket.
Okay, so a difficult weekend, no doubt.
Yeah.
But you came so close to not winning.
Yeah, and even the semi-final, we played Jamaica the day before, and we won by one in the last second. And so we nearly didn't even make it to the gold medal match. And then we nearly didn't win the gold medal match, we only won by one. So everybody's like, oh my gosh, you were amazing. And I'm like, yeah, we were amazing, but we only just won. And I guess the record books will say that we won, but
yeah, and that's all they'll say. Yeah, if you were there or you're watching it on telly, you will never forget that. So what is it like for you to be here now? And unfortunately, you're injured and you're not taking part.
Yeah, I'm not actually injured anymore, so I could be taking part, but it's quite difficult. I think when I watched the girls come out for that first game, it was really tough for me. And then when the anthem played, I shed a bit of a tear just because I wasn't part of it. But the girls are doing really well. I've been in touch with them. And yesterday they played Jamaica and were just so confident and dominant. So it's nice to see. I think if you're not going to be part of it, you want them to do really well. And they're doing just that.
Yeah, it's quite complicated psychology, though, this, isn't it? I know it's like injured players all the time have to support the team. But there's got to be an element of thinking, I mean, isn't there, honestly?
Honestly, there's times where I think one of the Australians didn't get to play in the Commonwealth Games last year, and she said that she was sitting at home and she did kind of want the team to win, but she didn't. And so when they didn't get a medal, she was kind of like, okay, you didn't pick me. And there is a kind of, it is bittersweet.
No, that's very honest of you.
And my heart is like backing England, and because I know the girls as well, I kind of want them to win. I know how much work we've put in, and I was part of that, and so I really do want England to win. And I think netball in England needs England to win, and so there's so many things around outside of what I think, and so it's not just about me, it's about much more than me. So actually I'm really backing England.
Well, you're in many ways, in every way, a bigger woman than me, it has to be said. Claire, Scotland, obviously Scotland is a smaller nation with fewer possible brilliant players. Is it a pain in the neck that England are, I mean, be honest, as Emma has been, is it a pain in the neck that England are one of the favourites?
Absolutely
here.
Not. Absolutely not.
You'd love to beat them,
I want England to win as well.
Do you really?
100%. Because actually, England winning their Commonwealth gold strengthened our sport in the UK, and that's reality. You know, when you speak to the other home nation chief execs from Wales and Northern Ireland, we are trying to grow our sport. We need more funding, we need a bigger platform, we need more coverage. And as Emma just said, it has taken 20 years for England to get there. I have a board director who was part of working with England Netball when they first put that vision together. They thought it would take 10 years. It's taken 20 to get to this point. So we need England to be successful. We will ride on those coattails because it's great for the coverage of our sport across the UK. It's inspiring for our young players and it strengthens us. And, you know, I'm the chief exec of Scotland. You can hear by my accent, I grew up in the English netball system. We are competitive on the court when we face each other, but off it we have to be stronger together, because otherwise netball will suffer. There are cash rich sports out there that have female versions of the sport that could come in and quite easily squash what we're doing. So we have to support one another, and I really hope to see England in that final.
Well, we were talking earlier about how football, women's football, is obviously very much on the rise, and potentially, let's be realistic, could well threaten young women, young girls taking up netball. There's just no doubt about that, is there?
I've talked about this for a long time. I think what I feel relatively comfortable with at the moment is that men's football and those big clubs haven't quite figured out how powerful women's sport really should be, and they're still seeing it as a little bit of an add-on in certain places. I've had some very interesting conversations with some chief execs of professional football teams who still aren't quite giving women's sport the position when they figure out that actually women are the most powerful consumers, they are the most powerful decision makers, we make up 50% of the population, and they tap into that, then you know, the potential is that netball could fall behind. But at the moment, with a domestic World Cup here, following a Women's Football World Cup, then actually I think netball's in a great position to lead the way at the moment.
Well, let's bring in Lindsay, who's in charge of the whole thing, event director of the Netball World Cup. First of all, congratulations, because this, if the energy here this morning is anything to go by, this has been a storming success.
So far, so good. This is actually our quietest session this morning. morning, Tuesday morning. We've had a fantastic weekend of Friday with the opening matches, the opening ceremony that took place on Friday afternoon, and then just some amazing competition over the weekend. You know, Zimbabwe has grabbed the hearts of everybody with their singing and their dancing, and that's really helped lift the atmosphere. But we wanted people to come here and enjoy the sport, but also enjoy the entire experience of being at the Netball World Cup. You know, we've got entertainment, we've got things that are happening outside. It's a real family day out, and everyone can come along and just have a really great time.
But the energy levels in the arena since I've been here, they just haven't dropped. So even if there's no netball, there's something going on. You've got big screens, you've got the noise, you've got that everybody's involved and excited. This was all obviously all planned out years ago?
I wouldn't say years ago. I think I've been working on it for 4 years, so I was the first person involved in Netball World Cup 2019 Limited, the company that is behind this. It's a subsidiary company of England Netball, and my team have been on board from about 2 years ago, so we've been building up for the last couple of years, but most of the finessing's been done in the last 6 months, and we had two courts next to each other as of yesterday and had a 12-hour turnaround overnight to get it to the single court today. And the atmosphere yesterday with two courts next to each other was fantastic, and we were a bit concerned.
So two games are going on at the same time?
Absolutely. 25 minute stagger between the start of the first game and then the start of the second game. Okay. So that the half time and quarter time sort of sat at the same time and we could do activations. And we were concerned about the distractions on one court and the impact it had on another. But the atmosphere of having so much netball so close has just worked really, really well. And we were concerned by turning it to a single court where there's a bit more space around the court that that might impact the atmosphere. But I've come in this morning and I'm absolutely blown away by it. It's fantastic. We do have some school children in this morning.
You certainly
do. Quite noisy.
Yeah, but that's great. And it's the heading towards the end of term, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Even the teachers, most of them are in a good mood. You could sense that outside, that they can, you know, they can feel the end of term coming.
Definitely.
And what better place to come actually than this today and just share in the excitement.
Yeah, 100%.
So, Emma, do you think England are going to get to the final? Because it's not a given, is it?
No, it's not. And this is the first time ever that the top of all netball's been shaken up. So there's a lot of teams. So South Africa have beaten Jamaica. Jamaica currently world number two, South Africa world number five. So it's on. And I think England's performance yesterday against Jamaica was the best that I've seen them play in a while. And so I'm thinking England will get to the final. And I don't care who they're playing. I'm hoping that they're going to win.
Claire?
Yeah, I think Australia are definitely looking the strongest, if I'm going to be honest. But I think, you know, that England team is superb. They're on home territory. But as Emma said, you know, in fact, the top eight, I would not rule out Uganda in any games coming through. You know, you look at what's, I think Thursday is going to be the best day of netball that we've had. And there's some real crunch matches in there. There's some must wins. We have to beat Trinidad and Tobago, which probably before they played Malawi yesterday and only lost by three, I was feeling far more comfortable than I am now.
Yeah.
So every single game is going to be a crunch one. And that's great for world netball. But for all of us chief exec supporting our teams, it's going to be a nerve-wracking race to the final.
Well, I really have enjoyed being here this morning. There's a real buzz about the place and such an energy and enthusiasm, and it's testament to you, Lindsay, and all your hard work.
Thank you.
And Emma, great to meet you. I hope you enjoy the final, whoever's in it and whoever wins. And Claire, good to meet you as well.
Thank you.
That's how the live show ended this morning, with Emma Amweza and Lindsay Input and Claire Nelson. Everybody getting on very well, actually, at the tournament. I think basically the winner is netball and women's sport generally. That's what you get. That's what you sense from the atmosphere here in Liverpool at the tournament. So, to your thoughts on what we broadcast this morning, Sorrel was happy. Quite simply, she says, "Women's hour in netball, pure joy when two of my favourite things collide." There we are. Isn't it wonderful to have at least one satisfied customer? And Sheila was happy too. Sheila says, "I'm loving the live show from Liverpool today. I'm 77, still reasonably fit, and I'm able to get around, albeit with care. I would love someone to organise netball for us real oldies." And Sheila says that she lives in Billinge, which is on Merseyside. So if anyone listening in the Merseyside area would like to organise, I suppose it would be walking netball or I don't know. But Sheila's keen, and I bet she isn't the only person who is enthused by what she heard this morning and would like to do something. On the other hand, Delia isn't happy, and I'm going to read out her email. Delia says, "For goodness sake, And for the sake of my sanity, please stop this constant coverage of sport. It's all that seems to be on Woman's Hour, and I'm sick of it. So many of your regular listeners, myself included, have little or no interest in any kind of sport. And I used to think of Woman's Hour as an oasis away from the current obsession with it. But now, just about every day, that's all you're talking about. I'm seriously considering abandoning the good ship Woman's Hour for good. And for good measure, Delia adds the hashtag #IHateSport. Right, Delia. Well, can I just point you in the direction of yesterday's programme, for example, which was about maternal mortality and actually the appalling link to women of colour in Britain in 2019, nothing to do with sport. Jenny's guests on the programme later in the week include Dame Sally Davis, who is about to stop being the Chief Medical Officer for England. And next week on the programme, it's Takeover Week with a range of guest editors. And certainly based on what I know about the programmes I'm involved in, I don't think you'll be troubled by sport next week, Delia. But, you know, many people love the programme today, love netball, and just love sport. So there we are. This is from Joan. I'm listening to you talk about netball, and it's bringing back memories from my school days. I was in the team in junior school, and I loved it. When I got to secondary school, I didn't go in for the trials for the team because I was scared about starting my period and wearing sanitary towels. Maybe it would fall out as I ran around, etc. I just didn't know. What a shame that those worries stopped me from playing. Maybe this is why a lot of girls refrain from doing sport. We should talk to girls about their fears and their worries in connection with sport. Joan, I think that's a really good point, and I imagine that your fears were shared by many people. I guess it's easier now. The towels are more, they're very super sticky, aren't they? And they stay on. And of course, tampons are an option as well. For not everybody, but for many people playing sport. But you know, you're right. I guess that would worry a lot of young girls around the time that you were playing. From Andy, my daughter played school, college and county netball up to age 18. And she was in the England training pathway. After playing the game, she came home covered in more bruises than my son, who played rugby, ever did. Netball is a rough, tough, aggressive game. And don't get me started on the language, says Andy. Thank you for that. And from Claire, after watching England play Jamaica yesterday, I was so inspired at the age of 53. I've just contacted my local netball club for details of how to join. And that strikes me as a brilliant place to end the programme. That was a cracking match. England were so good. So were Jamaica, of course. There is a sense... You see, my problem is I got a World Cup tingle about England in the women's football. I'm beginning to think I might be getting a tingle for this Netball World Cup, and my tingles have been very unreliable. So I think we're going to be tingle-free at the end of the podcast today. But the best of luck to England, and indeed to Northern Ireland and Scotland in their remaining fixtures over the course of this week. Full coverage across the BBC, and thanks to everybody who is so helpful at the M&S Bank Arena here in Liverpool today.
Hello! Sorry to interrupt your content consumption, but can I quickly suggest a podcast you might like? It's called Grown Up Land. Every week, comedian Heidi Regan, podcaster Ned Sedgwick, if that is even a job, Syrian dreamboat Steve Alley, and me, comedian Sophie Duca, are joined by a brilliant guest to discuss the bewildering pursuit of adulthood. We talk sex, jobs, rejection, jealousy, sex, all with help from BBC Radio 4. That's the Grown Up Land podcast. Make sure you subscribe on BBC Sounds.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.